Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, so good to be together. For those who haven't seen it, happy 2026. I know it's February, but you know, happy 2026, you know, happy new year, happy February. It's all good to be together. And it's February, which means we've had enough time to break all our New Year's resolutions already. Any honest people in the house right now? There we go. Thank you, sir. Only one Christian. You're the only person who shouldn't go to the prayer room afterwards. Anyway, I decided this year I'm going to rewrite my resolutions, do them a little bit differently, and I've been able to keep them this year already. I managed to keep them. Listen to my New Year's resolutions. Are you ready? This year, I'll finally drive past the gym at least once. I do that every day. Thank you, Jesus. Sick. This year, I will stop procrastinating starting tomorrow. This year, I'll eat healthy, except on weekends or stressful days. Tick, done. This year, I'll stick to the budget unless something important comes up. Anybody else feel like I can keep those? I'll be managed to keep them. If you want me, like, you know, if you want me to give you some advice on your resolutions, I'm more than happy to help you. But the thing is, we all make these promises every single year and we try to keep to them, we try and do them. Anybody with me? You know, anybody, even the last 10 years, you made some promises, this year I'm going to do this. Who has ever, like, always kept all the promises they've ever made? Anyone? No one. Right? And the reason why I think we do this is because every year we promise to be better, but life does not promise to be easier. Right? We promise to be better, but life does not become easier. In fact, life becomes a bit harder. You know, we promise to go to gym every day and then work gets busy and late nights lead to late mornings. And before you know it, you can't get there. We promise to eat healthy and then you have a stressful week. And then you go to the evil places called Checkers, Willys, or any garage. And you walk past a till and your favorite chocolate's in the beginning of the aisle. Like right there, you know, the till, the queue is like an hour long. You know what I'm talking about? And then, and you stand there and your favorite chocolate's over there. But now you're like, no, I'm being healthy. Now you're walking, but your favorite chocolate's over there. And the further you go down the aisle, the worse the quality becomes. To the point you get to the batteries and like the kids' toys. And then you're like, no, man. And I, that person, sorry. Grab your peanut butter Kit Kat, and there you go. You know, before we know it, we break our resolutions, we break our promises, because life does not promise to get easier. See, we break our promises, we break our resolutions, because resolutions assume we have control, right? But we don't. We don't have control over our life. We don't have control over this year. So we're in a series called Choose Well. And today I want to talk about something that we can choose, something that we can do, that even if life throws a curveball at us, even if life doesn't turn out the way we want to this year, we can still do something to live the best life that God has for us. And it does not involve keeping difficult promises that we actually cannot keep. So in a series called Choose Well, in fact, it's my privilege to wrap up the series today, and because next week's Vision Sunday, and we're very excited for that. So if you want to know why Pastor Byron, Pastor Candace isn't here, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. They are currently in Edenvale doing Vision Sunday for Edenvale Church. And I think if you go to Edenvale Encounter Night tonight, you might see a sneak peek of what it looks like, you know, so you can like come prepared next week, you know, just saying plug for Encounter Night, see you there. But they are there, so come next week. It's an amazing vision. We're super excited for it. God is going to do incredible things through this church this year, so you want to be a part of that. But they're over there. But it's my privilege today to wrap up our series called Choose Well. Choose Well, why? Because our choices today become our story tomorrow. Now, if you're a little bit OCD, you'll even write your resolutions in something called a daily planner. Anybody like that? If you're even more OCD, you'll spend October money on a 2026 yearly planner. My wife, Kristen, she's over here. She's very OCD. And she spends her money in October for 2025 on stuff for 2026. We can barely get through 2025 October, but it's fine. Let's spend money on 2026. She's the boss. I just follow along. But since she's here and there's witnesses, I feel brave to divulge some of her secrets for you today. Because Kristen made some New Year's resolution that she wasn't able to keep, and I thought I'd read them all for you today. Everyone ready? All right. This year, I promise to let Hein finish his juice before I take the glass out of his hand and start washing it. Didn't happen. This year, I promise to not get upset with Hein for not helping me in the house. This year, I promise even more to not get upset when he does help me, but doesn't help me in a way that I want him to. This year, I promise to admit once that he's right, even though he's never right. I'm joking, she didn't write that. Okay, but who knows that even if she did promise to keep it, she wouldn't be able to. Why? Because life, aka me, would make it very difficult for her to keep. You see, the problem is, our New Year's resolutions are promises. The things we try and do are lofty decisions to have an amazing year. It just doesn't seem to be able to keep us going throughout the year. See, the struggles we face are more relentless than our resolve to get through them. The struggles we face, the life is way too relentless for us to keep going forward and keep trying to do things in the way that we plan to do them. Because a planner assumes control, but we don't. I'm going to do this by the end of the year, but you know that between page one and between the last page is so many ups and downs, so many losses, so many things that happens, and we just cannot seem to make our promises happen. What if today we can choose not a planner, but a compass? A compass. You see, a planner we write down in the beginning of the year. So the compass just open up and add. That's not what we want to do. So the problem of a planner is we write down something in the beginning of the year, we close it and we try and live our life towards that. But what happens with a compass is you keep looking. Where's true north? Where's true north? Today, Jesus has an invitation for us. Don't try and do something amazing at the end of the year. Don't try and aim for something at the end of the year. Pick up a compass. Pick up my life. Pick up my yoke. Pick up who I am. I am your true north. No matter where you go, just follow true north. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to, if you choose him. The title of my message today is to choose direction, not perfection. Choose direction, not perfection. This year, we're not going to choose to be perfect. We're not going to choose to do everything right. We're going to choose to take up Jesus' direction every single day. Every morning when I wake up, Jesus, where's north today? Jesus, this happened yesterday. Where's north today? Jesus, this loss happened today. Jesus, where's my north right now? To pick up a compass and journey with Jesus. So that's something we can choose today, because a planner assumes control, but a compass assumes direction. A planner promises control, which can't. It can't guarantee control, but a compass guarantees direction. And it's important to choose direction, because we can promise to be better this year, but life is not going to promise to be easier. In order for us to live better lives, live the full lives that God has for us this year, when you choose to follow him and his way and not our perfect images of what we want to be this year. See, God doesn't want our lofty promises or big sacrifices for us to live a great life for him. He simply wants us to walk with him, to journey with him, to stay aligned with him no matter what, to choose well to follow him. Because if we do that, we can live the life that he's called us to live. There's a man in scripture who worshiped God and made many sacrifices to God, but at times he just didn't choose God's direction. And as a result, the sacrifices did not matter as much. The sacrifices did not get into his full calling. In fact, he fell off of what God had for him. He chose to partially obey God, to partially seek God, and not to follow him and seek him fully. He chose to sacrifice a lot, but he chose not to follow God's direction. He chose to try and be perfect in his sacrifice, not perfect in his obedience. And that's a man named Saul. Saul was the king of Israel right before David. And he was anointed by God to be king, called by God to be king, did amazing things for God, conquered lots of battles for God, but yet he fell short of all that God had for him. Why? Because he did not choose direction. He chose perfection. So we're going to read a passage now about Saul. And I just want to say, it's one of those passages that is full of violence and hectic stuff and will seem a bit detached from us today. But can I say, let's not focus on the violence. Let's focus on the fact how Saul did not trust and obey God. I'm going to pick up the story to see how we can choose direction and not perfection. What happens to us if we choose perfection and not direction? 1 Samuel 15 verse 2 to 3. God says this to Saul. This is what the Lord of Almighty says. I'll punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children and infants, cattle, sheep, camels and donkeys. What's God's command? Destroy everything. Destroy everything. What does Saul do? 1 Samuel 15, verse 7 to 9. He does this. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, did not destroy everything. And all his people and totally destroyed, all these people totally destroyed with a sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. What does Saul do? He chooses God's direction, but slightly, a little bit off. Not completely there. He's not completely choosing true north, right? So then, God's representative, Samuel, who wrote the book, goes to Saul and says, what have you done? Why have you done this? Saul's response is this. 1 Samuel 15, verse 15. Saul answered, the soldiers brought them, not me, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spare the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to you, Lord your God, but we will totally destroy the rest. Two things Saul does. Firstly, he says, it's not me, it's them. Does it sound familiar? Saul, aren't you the king of the soldiers? Aren't you the one who tells them what to do, right? Don't we often do that if we fail to keep our promises? No, but God, this happened. No, but God, that. And the second thing Saul does is he makes it spiritual. But we're going to sacrifice it for you anyway, God. Does it sound familiar? See, me and Kristen run youth in Edenville, and we have teenagers all the time trying to over-spiritualize something. So boy who loves a girl, and he goes, I feel God is asking me to go and date her. And then they break up. I feel God has told us to break up. Really? So was God even involved in that whole thing? We over-spiritualize things, right? But see, then this is what Samuel says to Saul. And this is where I want us to camp today. This is a crucial central thought of this whole message. So if you're going to fall asleep, just stay awake for the next 10 seconds. Okay. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than the offering of the fat of rams. What is Samuel saying? He's saying, your promise to do amazing things for God is not as important as obeying God today. Your promises to stop this and stop that is not as important as just trying to seek and follow God today. Our obedience to God is way better than our sacrifice. If we're going to live a good life, a full life, a life that Jesus wants us to live that is pleasing to him, we choose the direction of Jesus every day and not a big promise or perfection of tomorrow. We need to choose direction, not perfection. It's so easy to fall into sacrifice mode. Maybe you know someone, don't look to your left or right because I might be sitting there. Maybe you know someone who repeatedly says they're sorry. I'm so sorry for doing that to you. But they never actually change. Who knows that you'd appreciate their obedience more than their sacrifice of saying sorry, right? Maybe you know someone who constantly complains, I'm so busy, I can't do anything, there's too much going on, but they never say no to anything ever. They always just say yes. Who knows that their obedience to saying no is actually better than their sacrifice of saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I need help. Maybe you know someone who constantly says, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't have this addiction, I shouldn't have this struggle, and they never actually take steps to correct it. Who knows that the obedience is the thing that's going to set them free, not their, oh, I need help sacrifice. Maybe you know a person who keeps asking for advice, but who never applies it. They have the sacrificial heart to say, they're humble, I need help, but they actually never apply it. Who knows that their obedience will be better than their sacrifice? Obedience is the thing that will set them free, not their sacrifice of saying sorry. So your sacrifices are like daily planners. They fill in a page, but they don't do much in our lives. Our obedience is like a compass. It's every day, no matter where I find myself, no matter where life takes me, I can follow where I need to go because I am following true north. We need to choose direction today and not perfection. Today, Jesus has an invitation for us to choose to follow him, not to choose to make big sacrifices and do big, but just to choose to follow him, whatever that looks like. And don't get me wrong, sacrifices aren't wrong. It's not wrong to try and do something good. It's not wrong to give up something good. It's not wrong to do those things. But can I say right now, our sacrifices just seem to lack the power to get us through difficult times. Our sacrifices seem to lack the power to just get us into a space we can truly live for God. Our sacrifices just seem to lack power to set us free from the addictions and the struggles that we face. When you choose direction, not perfection. See, the problem with Saul was not that he didn't sacrifice things for God. The problem with Saul wasn't that he did amazing things for God. The problem with Saul was he chose not to obey God. And what does Samuel say? Our obedience is better than our sacrifices. So what's the difference between obedience and sacrifice? Because the lines can get quite blurred, right? What's the difference? So I thought I'd give us three differences just to sort of give us a picture. The first thing is sacrifice focuses on outward action, but obedience flows from inward transformation. Let me give you an example. Our worship can be sacrifice. Our worship can be obedience. Here's the difference. I struggle with this all the time. We worship. We come to church. We sing. We lift our hands. We're giving a sacrifice to God. We're doing something. But where's my mind? Where's my heart? Focus somewhere else. It happens to me a lot here in church because maybe the aircon's too hot or the lyrics are slow. Then I'm like, what's happening? Jesus, how great. So you're all going to leave now. So how great is our God singing? But I'm like thinking, God, like can this go up, up? And before I know it, I'm actually doing a sacrifice of worship, but I'm not actually worship out of obedience. And I'm doing something outward, hoping to change something on the inside. But see, true worship, obedient worship is worship saying, God, I'm here to do business with you today. God, I have a struggle. God, I'm not going to let anything get in my way right now. God, I give this worship to you because I know you've done something inside of me. You see, obedience flows from an inward transformation and then the outward action follows. So we come to encounter tonight, come a little bit prepared to say, God, I'm not going to focus on anything else. I'm not going to think about the roast. I'm not going to think about that. God, I'm going to bring myself to you. That is, it's almost like when you sacrifice worship, it's giving God an action without giving him our hearts. But when you worship him with our obedience, as we give him our hearts and the natural action of worship follows. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says this, to have faith in Christ means, of course, that you try to do all that he says. There would be no sense in saying you trusted a person if you'd not take his advice. Thus, if you have really handed yourself over to him, it must follow that you are trying to obey him. But trying in a new way, a less worried way, not doing these things in order to be saved, but because he has begun to save you already. Not hoping to get to heaven as a reward for your actions, but inevitably wanting to act in a certain way because a first faint gleam of heaven is already inside of you. See, that's the difference between sacrifice and obedience. Another sacrifice is sacrifice relies on human effort. Obedience relies on divine power. See, a person who makes sacrifice, say, God, I'm going to do this for you. God, I'm going to do this for you. God, I'm going to work my career for you with all my might and all my strength. I'm going to pray a little bit, but not really. I'm just going to go for it and do it my all. And this person who tries to advance their career, who networks and works overtime and does all these things, and you might succeed and you might fail. But regardless of it, it's not the best that God has for us. See, a person who obeys God in their careers will say, God, I'm going to trust you for my provision. God, I'm going to trust you for wisdom. God, I'm going to seek counsel for difficult decisions at work. God, I'm going to involve you in my job. I'm going to involve you in my family life. Can I say a person that does that is a person who will have more peace in their job, more security in their job, a more groundedness in their job because their provision doesn't come from their job. Their provision comes from the one behind their job, who is God. See the difference between obedience and sacrifice, how quickly we can sway and how dangerous it is to not have that. The third thing is that sacrifice tries to earn blessing. Obedience is the blessing. With blessing, I don't just mean finances. I mean joy. I mean peace. I mean groundedness. I mean security. See, a person who sacrifices is a sacrifice to earn God's blessing. So God, I'm tithing, so you must bless me. God, I'm serving so everything must work out. God, I'm doing this so you must do that. That is a sacrifice. But can I say right now, what if God's blessing doesn't come in the way that you wanted to or in the time that you wanted to? What does it do for you and my faith? See, a person who walks in obedience knows that when I obey God, it is the best that God has for me. It's the best life that God has available to me. It's so much better to not have the guilt and the shame of addiction on my shoulders all the time. It's so much better to obey God with tithing because now I know money is not my God. I don't have this looming thing of like, I live for money. I don't have it on my shoulders anymore because I know God is in control of my finances. Person who obeys, obedience is the blessing that God has for us, church. John Owen says, nothing is more pleasing to God and nothing is more profitable to ourselves than a sincere aim at obedience. So church, we have a light invitation from Jesus today, an invitation from him to say, Jesus is asking us to pick up a compass, to forget about all the things that we want to do for him And just for today to obey him. Just for tomorrow to obey him. God, what is my next? God is my next. To take our next step with God daily. To keep realigning ourselves with true north. Because when we do that, we will choose well for ourselves. And our story will become one of obedience, not one of sacrifice. See, Saul chose a path of sacrifice and he lost his kingship. But who was after him? David. While Saul was doing sacrifices, David was doing obedience. And what does God call David? He calls him a man after his own heart. In the end, isn't that we all want to be? Men and women after God's own heart. People who chose to follow God. And the only way to do that is through obedience, not through our sacrifice. So then how do we choose direction and not perfection this year? How do we do this? It sounds nice. And why should I do it? Why? Because when we can promise to be better, but life does not promise to be easier, right? And in order for us to live the full life that God has for us, in order for us to live a life of power that God has for us, we need to choose to follow him, not choose to try and do amazing things for him. So when you talk about how we can be obedient, how we can choose obedience, not direction, how we can choose direction and not perfection, how we can do that, I want you to remember one word is the word alignment. The word alignment. The way we're going to follow God daily is to align ourselves with him daily. The way we're going to obey God all the time is to align ourselves with him all the time. Alignment. I'm talking about alignment like in a wheel alignment for your car. Just in December, we are going to go on holiday and we had to like change our tires. You know how it goes because the tires are looking a little bit raggy. You don't want to have a flat tire on the way down to Durban. So we decided, cool, now we're going to do a wheel alignment and everything. So I get to the lady and she says, do you need a wheel alignment? Probably, I don't know. So she does all the things. And then eventually she comes at me, but all angry. She walks out of the reception area. There's like a booth and a door. She opens up the door. She comes to me. You need to check your alignment all the time. I'm like, sorry, Tani, I don't know. Because my wheel alignment apparently was so far out and I needed to check it a lot. So I'm like, okay, cool. So when must I check it again? She goes, next month you must go again. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you. Change the tires, everything. We start driving. Wheel alignment is perfect. You know, you leave the steering wheel, feet on the dashboard. What a jaw. And all of a sudden you hit a portal. Gudunk. All of a sudden the steering wheel does this. So driving again. Now I'm like, must I go back and check my wheel alignment? How do I do this? What's going on? Must I check it every day? Must I check it every week? Because we have bottles all the time, right? See, with a car, it's impossible. With our lives, it's not impossible. It doesn't make sense to take a car in every single day. But can I say the bottles of life are way more hectic than the bottles of this road. So you align ourselves with God all the time. Alignment. See, remember that Jesus doesn't want us to take a yearly plan and to align ourselves with him in the beginning of the year and then leave it and just ride through all the potholes in life, hoping we'll get to where we want to go. No, Jesus wants us to take up a compass in the beginning of the year and walk with him, align ourselves with him all the time. And that is how we can live the life that he has for us. So alignment. So how are we going to align ourselves with God this year? So five things. What five things can we choose well? The first thing is we're going to align our hearts. We're going to align our hearts. We align our hearts with God in moments of worship. Can I say right now, this moment of worship we had today, you've already aligned yourself with God a little bit more than what you were when you came in here today. Alignment, align our hearts with God in moments of worship. To worship God weekly, to worship God daily, to worship God as much as we can. For some of you, that sounds difficult. How do I even get to that? I don't have time. Here's a practical thing. Give God the first few minutes you already have every day. For some of us, we're retired, so we have hours. We can worship God, we can have communion, we can bake bread and break bread, you know, we can do all the things. For some of us, we have three toddlers and they are crazy. They're even worse than when we were children, right? So like we have 60 seconds, like wake up in the morning, I have 60 seconds. Give God the first few seconds you already have every day. You know, 60 seconds, pray a prayer of gratitude. You know, 60 seconds, tell God how amazing he is. Just give God the first few seconds you already have every day and your heart will align with him daily. So we align our hearts. St. Augustine says, we are made for God. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. Do you feel restless? Can I say our heart's not aligned? That's why. Align your heart with God. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to align our minds. We're going to align our minds. How do we align our minds? Through scripture. Will our minds be shaped and transformed through scripture? You see, if I watch shorts the whole time and reels all the time, can I say the true north is going to go away very, very quickly? We need to fill our minds with scripture more than we fill our minds with shorts. How many shorts do you watch? How many scriptures do you read? I know my shorts to scripture ratio is out of whack. And I wish this for a good way. It was in a bad way. Okay? Can I say that we need to read scripture daily? Because scriptures are true north. So here's a practical thing we can do. Read one verse or one passage a day and ask yourself this question. How does this change how I will carry myself today? So read a passage. How does this change how I will carry myself today? And immediately the scripture that you read on a page becomes alive in your life today. And you align your mind with God's. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. There's a key there. If you want to know God's will for your life this year, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Renew your mind through God's word. Allow scripture to transform our minds. Are you being helped, church? Thirdly, align with others. Align with others. Align with others. This year, choose one person and one rhythm and do it weekly. So choose one person you're going to maybe voice note every single week or have coffee with once a month. One person will help you keep aligned with God's will for your life. Simply what you're going to do is you're going to meet up with coffee for this person or meet up with this person for coffee. There we go. Or voice note this person. You're going to answer two questions. What did I do well and where did I drift? What did I do well and where did I drift? Keep it honest, not impressive. It will give you life. It will give you life. Proverbs 27 to 17 said, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. If you want to be sharper in life, you want to be sharper in your walk with God, don't do it alone. God has given you a church full of people. Grab one of them. Grab one of them and hold each other accountable to the great plan that God has for your life this year. Fourthly, we're going to align our voices. We're going to align our voices. We're going to pray regularly. Build prayer into our lives. Here's a practical thing. Build prayer into the natural pauses of your life that you already have. Not the natural pauses. Now you get home after work. There's a bit of a pause before you climb out of the car. Maybe before you climb into the car for work, or maybe it's at lunchtime, you always walk out of the same door, and before you climb in, before you walk into the cafeteria or whatever, there's a natural pause. Build prayer into those natural pauses of life, and you'll align your voice with what God wants for you. And just pray honest prayers. God, guide me. God, help me. God, help me obey. God, help me to be kinder to this person because they are driving me insane. Martin Luther says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible to be alive without breathing. Do you feel like being suffocated in your Christian life? Your walk with Jesus, can I say you need some prayer? You need some oxygen. Build prayer into the natural pauses of your life that you have already. And fifthly and lastly, we align our actions. We align our actions. We align our actions. 1 week, take time to reflect on your week. Maybe it's after church when you're about to hit that lack of nap. You know that 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock nap that you're going to hit today after you've eaten? Yes, some of the yes. I'm waiting for it. I'm feeling it coming up right now, actually. In that, before you hit that nap, just ask yourself these three questions. Ask yourself these three questions. Where did I see God's leading this week? Where did I resist God's leading this week? And what one adjustment can I make next week? Where did I see God's leading? Where did I resist God's leading? And what one adjustment can I make? Can I say that if you do that every single week, you're going to align your actions every single week. And before you know it, those promises that you made at the end of the year, they don't actually matter because you're living a much fuller life and greater life that God has ever had for you, you know, than before, more than you can ever think or imagine because you are aligning yourself with God. You're walking in the purposes of God. You are a David, not a Saul. You're a man and a woman after God's own heart. Can I say that the way to God's heart is not through sacrifices, but it's through obedience. John Piper says, holiness grows not by chance, but by conscious and repeated adjustment of our hearts to God. As we do this, we'll align ourselves with God's will. So this year, the invitation from Jesus is this. Do not choose the promises that you think you should make to God. Choose the obedience that he has already laid out for you in scripture. And when we do that, we will choose well. And our story for tomorrow will become one that's after God's own heart. I'm going to talk to you about someone named Jackie Pullinger. She is a missionary from Great Britain, and she decided in 1966 to go to Hong Kong. She just felt a still small voice in her head to say, I need to go there. So she arrived without a formal mission strategy, without a funding plan, and without any organizational backing, just on her own. On her ace, just went to Hong Kong. She felt God tell her she must go, and she simply obeyed. She started to begin working amongst heroin addicts, gang members, prostitutes, and the homeless in a city named the Kowloon Walled City, which is apparently one of the most lawless places on earth in 1966. Her obedient choice was that she had to stay when things are difficult. She had to pray when nothing worked. And she has to listen to God every single day for what God had for her. She didn't know what she was doing. She always said, she repeatedly says this apparently, she didn't know what she was doing. She did not feel particularly brave. And she didn't have any long-term plan. What did obedience do? Well, in 1966, hundreds and thousands of people were freed from a heroin addiction on the streets through prayer and community and radical discipleship. He founded something called the St. Stephen Society, also 1966, all in 1 year, by the way, where they provided residential rehabilitation for people. So everyone who's on drugs, everyone who's homeless, you can stay at this place and it will help rehabilitate you. We'll give you food, we'll give you shelter, and you will come out of this place free from what you've been holding you captive your whole life. She combined spiritual formation with a practical structure. Her obedience led to the long-term transformation of individuals, families, and in fact, an entire city. She was obedient to the still small voice that God had for her. No dramatic conversion moment, no flawless faith, no five-year vision board, no daily planner, just simple, repeated alignment to God every single day. Jackie didn't have a planner. She had a compass. She had a compass. Imagine, church, if her obedience can do that, what our honest, sincere obedience can do for God's kingdom this year. What your and my sincere and honest obedience can do in this church, in our workspaces, in our communities. God is always looking for people to build his kingdom in the most horrible places on earth. It is not the pastor, it's not this person, it is up to you and to me to obey God. And when we do, we will live a life that doesn't just transform our lives, but transform the lives of all those around us. We choose direction this year, not perfection. We choose obedience, not sacrifice. And see what God does with your life this year. But before we can even do that, before we can even think about obeying Jesus, we need to know who Jesus is. We need to have an intimate friendship with him. We need to know like what he wants from us. Because if you don't know that, how can we obey someone that we don't even know what they want? So today, it'd be my absolute privilege. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never invited him into your life, it'd be my absolute privilege to give you this invitation that he has laid out for you and for me today, is to accept him and follow him. So as everyone else, just to close their eyes and to bow their heads, just to give a moment of privacy here. But if that's you today, if you're saying, I want to live this life, I want to choose direction and not perfection, but I don't necessarily know what the direction is. I don't even know Jesus that well. And or maybe you've known Jesus a long time ago, but you've walked away from him. You've drifted away from him. Today, it's your opportunity to say yes to him again, to say yes to him for the first time. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and he's saying, I am waiting to come in. I'm here for you. Just say yes. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. It's not to embarrass you. I just want to see who you are because I'd like to pray for you as you accept this invitation from Jesus, because it's the most amazing invitation that you'll ever say yes to. It is your first step in obedience. It's your first step in direction. So can I say, if you want to invite Jesus into your life, if you want to have the power of Jesus in your life, if you want to say, Jesus, I want to know who you are, I want to follow you, can I ask you to raise your hand in 3, 2, 1, wherever you are, just nice and nice, I can see who you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you on the balcony. Thank you, thank you in the front over here. Thank you on the left, thank you. Anyone else? Just nice and nice, I can see who you are. This is your moment with God. He's saying, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Thank you in the back over there. Thank you on the top left over there. Thank you. Anyone else? Awesome stuff. That's the best decision you can make. It's your first step in direction. Just one more person, just looking around, if that's you. Just one more person. Okay, awesome. Those of you put up your hand, I want to pray a prayer right now. You can just pray this prayer in your heart. But just doesn't matter what you pray. It's just simply just saying, yes, Jesus, I want to go for you. But let us pray real quick. Father God, I thank you for every single person who's put up their hearts, put up their hands to follow you today, Lord Father God. Thank you, Lord Father God, that we don't need to be better. You come and accept us as we are. And today, Jesus, we choose to follow you. We choose to live for you, Jesus. Come into my heart, I pray. Come and shape and change and mold me into who you want me to be. And from this day on forward, Jesus, I choose the direction that you have for me, not the perfection that I have for myself. Help me, Jesus, for the rest of this year and for the rest of my life to be with you, become like you, and to do what you did. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.